It is good to have everyone today, August 4th, 2019, and we are continuing our study on the promises of God. We want to stand on the promises. We want to envelop the promise of God. We want to hold on to all these wonderful promises because they are His unerring, unbroken word. He will never break these promises. They will never fail. For the last 3 weeks, we looked at His promise to answer prayer. Call unto me and I will answer you and I will do and show you great and mighty things which you cannot imagine. So today we look at another wonderful promise of God, and it's Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, and He says this: Come unto me, all ye that labor and are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. We want to look today at the promise of God's rest and all that that encompasses. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come to you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I can think back over this past week, Lord. And I have confessed these actions and thoughts and feelings out loud to you. And Father, I want to thank you for forgiveness. As I have prayed to be cleansed by the blood, your blood cleanses us of all our sin. But we must confess our sin. So Father, it makes them real to me. It allows me to continue dealing with them and not sweeping them under a rug. But Father, I not only ask for forgiveness, I ask that my flesh be mortified, as Paul said, crucified, and that your righteousness would replace the carnality of my flesh. Restoratively. And Heavenly Father, I pray right now for an anointing and a filling of your Spirit to share your truth. Father, we just need these verses, these scriptures, the meanings of these words, your meaning. Father, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher. Speak to our hearts and just take over, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. Holy Spirit, take over. In your name we pray. Amen. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that are late, that labor or are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you my rest. The promise of God's rest. What is it? I want you to understand there are many aspects to God's rest, beginning in Genesis and ending in Revelation and everywhere in between. So let's go back to the beginning. We'll study the Hebrew. We'll study the Greek. We'll understand why we need this so desperately and why God is the only source. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, we see the end of creation. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, the scripture says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and He sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." Now, let me tell you what this rested means and what it doesn't mean. All right, in the Hebrew here, it means to cease from labor. It means to bring an end to. It means to sit down as when something is finished. And it means a sign of completion. To cease from labor, to bring to an end to sit down when something is finished, and it brings a sense of completion. Now, I want you to understand, it doesn't mean to here primarily. It doesn't mean to rest because you're tired. Because I want to praise God, God never gets tired. So he wasn't tired from 6 days of creation. He had finished 6 days of creation and he ceased from his labor. But I want you to understand something. This is a wonderful word. It's great to have a sense of completion. It's just wonderful. I told Patty when I was in college and I worked at a pharmaceutical warehouse. It was wholesale. And I worked in the returns department, just me and another lady, elderly lady. I love her to this day. She's in heaven with Jesus. But they hired me to be her assistant. And we would get returns from hospitals, and we would get returns from pharmacies, and they would be damaged, or they'd be out of date. And I'd write up the paperwork, and I'd send it to the manufacturer, and I would credit whoever had sent it in to us. And at the end of the day, I would go down a little hall, and there was a little box there, and I would hit my time card, and I'd clock out, and I'd be finished. And it was the greatest feeling. And I'd be gone. The ministry is not like that. There are no time clocks. You never check out. It can be Saturday morning, Sunday night, Monday afternoon. It can be, can you do this, Brother Leo? Can you do that? You go to bed at night, you're thinking about folks that need stuff tomorrow and next week, next month. And I told Patty, as I was studying this word, I said, there's a great feeling to be finished. To be able to clock, turn a clock, pull it out, and you walk out. And no pharmacist would call me. There'd be nothing waiting for me at home that I had to box up, mail back to the manufacturer. And it is a great feeling. So hold on to that, because you're going to see this applied in another spiritual sense in a moment. But it means to cease from labor, to be completed, and to be finished. Now, go with me to Exodus 16. God sanctified this day. In Exodus 16, the children of Israel are in the wilderness. God is providing food. And in verse 21, it says this, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, the manna melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they were told to gather twice as much bread. Two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest, R-E-S-T, the rest. On the seventh day, God rested, the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, then see that which you will see, and that which remaineth overlay up for you to be kept until the morning. Now go to Exodus chapter 20. And in Exodus chapter 20, when they are receiving the Ten Commandments, God takes it a step further, what he explained to them about the manna. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, he says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it you shall not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor any cattle, nor any stranger. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath, and he honored it. So now you see that the Sabbath is not only a day to cease from labor, to cease from toil, to cease from exertion, but it is a sacred day in which you recognize the Lord in worship and in gratitude. Now, I'm not going to take you there, but God took it a step further. When the children of Israel were released from their bondage and slavery in Egypt. They worked 7 days. And so he said, as my children, as my nation, you will never work on that seventh day. You will keep that day sacred unto me, and on that day you will worship me, and you will remember that I did all the work that delivered you out of the bondage of Egypt. I brought the plagues, I parted the Red Sea, I led you by a light and a cloudy pillar, I provided manna, I provided quail. You will rest, you will focus on me, and you will have a spirit of gratitude and worship based on all that I have done for you. So it was the Sabbath day of rest. Now, we are the Gentiles saved by God. We don't keep the Sabbath. We were not given the Sabbath. And the New Testament church was not given the Sabbath. It is unique to the nation of Israel because they were the ones held in bondage to recognize the Sabbath. When the New Testament church began on Pentecost, the New Testament church began meeting not on the Sabbath day, but they began meeting on the first day of the week, which represented the rising of Jesus Christ, the Sun Day. And so we meet on the first day of the week, but we bring some of the Sabbath qualities along with us in that it, for us, is a day of focus on worship to the Lord. And many times we're not working, but we're in church honoring God and making it a priority. So you see the beginning of the Sabbath day of rest. But go with me to the end, Revelation 14. Revelation 14, the rest. What does it mean to enter into God's rest or to receive God's rest? And in Revelation 14, verse 12 and 13, the scripture says this. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. So you're seeing this time during the tribulation that these are Jewish folks who keep the commandments of God. They are the chosen. They could be part or a result of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And they have not only the Old Testament law or the commandments of God, they also have received their Messiah, Jesus Christ, the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice, and they've been martyred. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and the works that they do on earth will follow them into heaven for their reward or for their loss of reward. But what I want you to notice there is that they may rest from their labors. That their labor and their toil, their physical exertion, their mental anxiety, their mental exertion, being worn out physically, mentally, or whatever, they are going to rest from everything they took part in this physical life. So as you leave here, you actually enter into what God calls His rest. I am going to rest in heaven, not that I'm just going to be sitting down or reposing, but there's going to be a cessation or an ending of pain and death and disease and struggle and exertion to the point where I'm worn out, mental fatigue, etc., etc. All of that is going to end. So we recognize the rest we have today as we come into the sanctuary and experience singing and all that. And we're going to recognize the rest that we will receive in heaven. Now, go back with me to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28. And let me give you this word in the Greek. And let me add something else to it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're going to see here in a moment, that's a messianic statement. It's a wonder if the Pharisees had heard that, they didn't pick up stones at that point. He's claiming to be God himself when he makes this statement. In Matthew 11, 28, the scripture says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the word we get anapoia from, musically or poetically, anapoa in the Greek, A-N-A-P-A-U-O. A-N-A-P-A-U-O, and it means to give a rest or a pause to. It means to give a rest as a result of ceasing from some activity or anxiety or anxiousness. It means inward tranquility. So I'll give you rest. I'm going to take something off of you. But it also means this. There's a proactive part of this definition. While you're resting, you're being refreshed, reinvigorated, re-energized. So you're not just resting. You know, you've just not come to a stop here, as the Hebrew says. You've come to a stop, and then there's a reinvigorate, a restorative process here. And so again, God's offering us a divine exchange. You come unto me, I'll take your burdens, I'll take your weariness. We'll get to that in a moment, and I will give you my rest. So what is God's rest? It's a conscious effort of ceasing in the carnal or the physical or the horizontal, and it's a receiving of a divine tranquility and reinvigoration. It's both, and you need it, and you can only get it from God's presence, and you can only get it from God as the source. Now, I want you to understand something. He was offering a physical invitation there. He's standing there physically. He's talking to a group of people. They're Israelites. There's another group of people. They're Sadducees, rabbis, Pharisees. They're telling the people, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. They're adding this to the law. They're adding this to the Sabbath. They're adding all these things, and these people are worn out religiously. They don't feel like they never do good enough. And so the Lord's saying, you leave that much, and you come, and you follow me, and I will give you rest. And he says, you get to know me. Learn of me. Look at what he says. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. So what he's saying is, you leave all of this burdens and these extra commandments and all these things and the stuff about the tithes and all these things, you leave them behind and you come have a relationship with me and you will have rest. Now, let me show you why this is a messianic statement. Go with me to Exodus 33. Sorry, my pages are stuck. All right, in Exodus 33, Moses is leading the nation of Israel. And as we know, Moses had no confidence in himself, as a lot of us are. And God knows, we know, we've got to depend upon him. And in Exodus 33, verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. And in verse 12, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou saidst unto me, you've told me to bring this people up, and has not let me know whom you will send with me. I don't want to do this by myself. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And the Lord said unto him, and God said unto him, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. So when Jesus says, come unto me and I'll give you rest, Jesus is saying, I'm the God that spoke to Moses. I'm the same one that said, you go with me and I will give you rest. Now, why did he say that? Why did God say, I will go with you and I will give you rest? Well, notice what Moses said. And Moses said unto him, if your presence is not with me, don't even carry me up. I don't want to go where you're not at, God. I don't want to go where you're not leaning, God. So what's Moses saying? Moses saying, I can't handle this. I can't handle this. You got to send somebody with me. But the Lord's saying this. No, I'll go with you and I'll give you rest. Well, what does that mean? That means the Lord's saying, I'll handle it. I'll carry the burden. I'll take care of it. Moses, I don't intend for you to carry this. I will carry it. All you've got to do is go. So I want you to understand a huge aspect of God's rest is when we get alone with God and allow Him to show us the burdens that we're carrying in life that He does not intend for us to carry. Come unto me, all you who are weary and overburdened. Heavy burden. You are carrying burdens I don't want you to carry. You give these burdens to me and I will handle them. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm facing a test this week or a surgery this week, me worrying about this test or me worrying about this surgery is not going to make it go any better. My Lord will handle it. My Lord will guide the surgeons. Me worrying about something tomorrow is not going to add one more inch to my height. It's not going to give me one more ounce of strength. And what we've got to understand, when God's saying, I will give you rest, what He's saying to Moses is, Moses, I don't expect you to do this by yourself. If I'm calling you to lead these people to the promised land, I will go with you. My presence will be with you, and my strength will be with you, and I will give you rest. So what he's saying is, I want you to rest from the responsibility of thinking you need to lead these millions of people and make all the right decisions. And he's saying that to you today. I want you to rest from thinking you need to do this. You need to handle this. You need to exert your effort in this area. My friend, God is trying to give you His rest. So you have to come unto Him and I will give you rest. God is the only source. Go with me to Isaiah 63. God's rest is all throughout the Word of God. In Isaiah 63, beginning in verse 10, Isaiah is chastising the children of Israel for their disobedience. And he says this, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore He was turned to be their enemy. And the Lord fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name? that led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. As a beast goes down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest. So did thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious, glorious name. Now, I want you to understand, when the children of Israel rebelled against God, they had no rest. But when you're in a right relationship with the Lord is leading, the Lord is dividing the waters, the Lord is handling the enemies, the Lord is giving you wisdom, the Lord is giving you counsel, the Lord is acting as your shepherd, and you will find rest. One way to know that you're out of the will of God is when you are absolutely in your own power, in your own intelligence, in your own wisdom, handling every situation in your life. You're overburdened. You're weary. You have not given these things unto God. And so he says, come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. But there's one more step in that. Go with me to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the scripture says this. I tell you what, I'll read verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This is the second step. So you come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and then you cast upon me all your burdens, all your labors, all the things that are wearing you out that I do not intend for you to carry, and I definitely do not intend for you to carry them alone. But in this particular word, it is a total letting go. When you are casting upon God, you are giving it to him 110%. And you say, Brother Leo, I just can't do that. Or Brother Leo, I totally take that back. I give it to him, I take it back. I give it to him, I take it back. My friend, I want to tell you, do not give up. I have known people, I have seen experiences in my own life where you can really give something over to God. It can be something that has torn you up for years, but you finally get to the mindset, you finally get to the perspective where you give it over to God and you leave it there, and your faith and your mindset will allow you to do it. You've just got to keep working at it, and you've got to keep taking it to God. Because when you cast your burden unto the Lord, you're basically saying this to him, Lord, I now know I can't handle it. I can't change this person. I can't change this situation. And I am truly giving it over to you. And not only to you, I'm giving it over to your mighty right hand. You can do it. You can handle it. I'm not going to lay awake at night worrying about it, fretting over it, thinking about it. What I'm going to do at night, I'm going to say a prayer about it. With faith, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to lay me down, and I'm going to sleep in peace. Come unto me. He not only asks you to come unto him, he asks you to give it to him. And as you do that, you will feel that release. That word in Matthew 11:28, weariness, that weariness means as being in a long, arduous journey, and you're just worn out. Being in a long, arduous journey, and you're just worn out. So how long have you been traveling with this burden? You've been carrying this thing for 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 4 months. That's the kind of stuff the Lord's talking about, that He's inviting you to give to Him. Things that have bothered us for years. And then that word heavy laden, that actually means to be overburdened or overstressed to the point of breaking. There are two illustrations. One of them is like strings or cords that are drawn tight or overly tightened to the point they're about to snap, like on a harp or a guitar. And you take that guitar and you just keep tightening that string. Well, it's going to eventually get to a point where it's going to snap. And when you give it over to God, the word actually means there's a relaxation. That stress is taken off. That it was wound tight, now it's got slack in it. And you can relax and you can move. And another Greek illustration I read was, it's like you've got a motor, an engine on a car, or you've got a boat motor and you're trying to tow 3 or 4 people, you know, on inner tubes back, you know, and you're carrying them, and that engine keeps bogging down. It's bogging down because of the weight. And my friend, you can see yourself in that engine. You can see yourself in that cord. We allow ourselves to get pulled tight. We got so much on us, it's bogging us down. And it's bogging us down. And all you got to do is release that. And a lot of times when we used to water ski a lot, if we were pulling 2 skiers, when they'd fall off, the first thing you'd feel, that engine would just lurch forward. Because it was laboring to pull them. And then you'd be running maybe 27, 28 miles an hour. Man, that thing would bump up to 32 just like that. Bam! And I mean, that's us. We're going through life a lot of times, man, and we're pulling a wagon load of stuff. But the beautiful thing is God doesn't intend for you to carry those burdens. He's saying, give me the burden. And what you're saying in this mindset, you're saying, Lord, I'm handing it over to you. I've got confidence in you. I'm trusting you, Jesus, to carry this burden and to handle this situation. I would say that out loud to it. Lord, I'm trusting you to carry this burden and I'm trusting you to handle this situation. So I'm just going to go enjoy my day today. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to be kind to people. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to worship you. And I'm giving this over to you. And I'm going to allow you to carry it. But my friend, I want you to understand, faith and confidence in God are a huge part of this mindset. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. And you say, Brother Leo, I've got faith. It's not that I don't have faith. I just keep taking it back on myself. Well, do you trust Jesus to handle it? Maybe you've just not asked yourself the easy questions. And then you come to the point and you say, why in the world am I carrying this thing? He created the universe. He wants to carry it for me. He wants to take care of this for me. Hebrews chapter 3. I'll begin reading in verse 7. But I want you to understand, as I read to you out of Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4, I want you to understand that God's rest here represents the promised land, it represents salvation, and it represents heaven itself. All that's encompassed in the writings of Hebrews here. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with this generation, and I said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. That was the promised land. Now, why didn't they enter into the rest? Because based on all that God had done for them, they still griped. They still grumble. They still complain. They still harden their hearts. And they still didn't trust God completely. So my friend, count your blessings. Go back and acknowledge all He's done for you. If He handled that, He can handle this. If He handled that, He can handle this. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. And then enter into His rest. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So what he's saying there is, you know, don't have a heart of unbelief. Now, I'm adding to this just my opinion. And maybe I'm wrong. When you see God send all those plagues, when you see God part the Red Sea, when you see water come out of a rock, when you see quail march into the camp, when you see all these enemies defeated just by the hand of God, how do you have unbelief? I mean, how would you not believe He's able? So I'm saying here, I'm not sure they didn't believe He had the power. I just believe they didn't have the faith or the confidence to trust Him. You know, to trust Him with the situation. You know, sometimes indirectly we're telling God, I know better than you do, God. I know what's better for my children. You know, somebody says, well, you just need to pray anything it takes to get that person in a right relationship with Jesus. Folks say, oh, I don't want that. What if something bad happened to them? Well, all things work together for good if it's going to get somebody saved. All things work together for good if it's going to get somebody in God's will. But it's almost like we don't have this 100% surrendering trust unto God. And so we carry the burden. We keep trying to do things. You know, if I go out here and do 5 good things, maybe God will do this in my loved one's life. Or if I go out and do this, maybe this will happen. You know, and you get caught up in all these labors and actions, and all God's saying is, give it to me and trust me. Give it to me and trust me. And so they couldn't enter into His rest. They couldn't trust Him enough to enter into His rest. Look at what it says in verse 17. But with whom was He grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear He that they would not enter into His rest? The promised land. But to them that believe not, so we see that they could not enter in because of a lack of faith or a lack of trust. What is it in your life that you're not resting in? What is the one burden that you think about at night? What's the one burden that weighs you down, that wears you out? The Lord's saying, give it to me. I don't intend for you to carry this thing the way you're carrying it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore, lest a promise being left of us entering into His rest, any of you should come short of it. Now, what rest is He talking about here? For unto us was the gospel preached. Oh my goodness, the gospel. This is salvation. As well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, because they, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So by believing you enter into the rest of your salvation. As I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place on the seventh day. God did rest from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remained that some must therein enter. And they to whom it was first preached entered not into the promised land because of unbelief. In verse 8, in verse 7, he says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Joshua," not Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, "for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day of rest, a New Testament day of rest. Therefore, there remains a rest to the people of God." That's heaven. "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." So what does he mean by that? He means when I enter into the rest of salvation, I don't work for my salvation. I enter into my salvation through faith and not through works. Now I want to tell you something. There's no doubt in my mind I'm saved. And I didn't do one thing to save me. I didn't do one righteous act to save me. What saved me was my belief in the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I entered in through my faith. I entered in through my belief. You know something? I came to the point where I figured out I could not do enough to save myself. And you know what I had to say? I had to say, "God, I can't handle saving myself. I got to give it over to you. You saved me." And guess what? He saved me. So I gave the burden of my lostness and my damnation and my judgment unto God, and he took it, he saved me, and he gave me rest. And guess what? Now I can give every burden I got unto God the same way. You know, I don't take my salvation back, Cameron. I don't take it back and say, "God, say, I don't think I'm saved, save me again." I know some people do that, and we really need to try to help those folks. But I don't take it back. I know I'm saved. I'm not the best. I'm not perfect. I sin. But I know God has saved me. He has taken that burden off of me, and I have entered into the rest of salvation. And I've got one more rest I'm going to enter into, and that will be the glorification of my body. And when I leave this old body and enter into heaven, there still remains a day for me. But I have entered in. And so Jesus says, "Come unto me. Cast your care upon me, I will give you rest." Jesus says, "Call upon me, I will answer you." The "I wills" of Jesus. I will do it, I will do it, I will do it. And so I want to ask you today. You understood salvation if you're a Christian. So what are you carrying today that the Lord wants to carry for you? Isn't that just wonderful? You know, you ever been going through an airport and you got two or three bags and somebody just comes up beside you and say, "Hey man, I've only got a carry-on. Let me help you with that bag." And doesn't it feel so good? They take that bag out of your hand and there they go. And they walk with you, you know, wherever you got to go. You know, the Lord wants to do that in your life. And immediately, you're going to feel it light. Just like that old outboard motor. Just like somebody taking a weight out of your hand. The Lord wants to take something off of all of us today. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask Judy to play softly. And I'm going to ask you to come unto Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord. Say, "Lord Jesus, is there a burden I'm carrying or a worry or an anxiety that you want me to give to you? Lord, I need to begin that process. Did I come in here today or did I spend last night before I went to sleep rolling something over and over again in my mind? Or do I do it regularly? Lord Jesus, help me. Help me give it unto you." So in the quietness of this moment, let's meet with the Lord about something that you may be carrying that He wants you to give to Him. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's the promise of God